Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. The Titans fall to the Pittsburgh Steelers on Thursday Night Football, 20-16. And it's a tough one. It's a tough loss to swallow. Because the Titans had so many opportunities to win that game, that I felt like the Titans, against all odds, against every single offensive lineman except for Aaron Brewer leaving the game at some point with an injury, with that Pittsburgh defensive front just being relentless, with the Titans defense not being able to stop a damn thing, and the Pittsburgh Steelers running all over the Titans defense. And really, let's be fair. A Pittsburgh Steelers offense that's one of the worst in the league that's been struggling all season long. Mm-hmm. All that considered, the Titans still had opportunities to win that football game, and they fell short.
Yeah, they did. First, let's just say, as I said 2 weeks ago, let's not even breach the conversation of, Ryan Tannehill coming back as a quarterback. He's not. Told you 2 weeks ago he wasn't coming as a quarterback, and it has been further proven that Will Levis is your quarterback mm-hmm. of the future. Yes, he needs to get better in some areas, but he's shown in the last two games that he has the moxie, he has the poise. And I'm not even talking about the attributes of the arm strength and all that other stuff, but he has those two things, and he has the command of the huddle. Mm-hmm. Most importantly, he has the command of the huddle and the respect to those guys. So all those who were believing that Ryan Tannehill would come back as a quarterback, or they had a better opportunity at winning with Ryan Tannehill, no, they don't. The best opportunity for them to win moving forward is with number 8 at quarterback. What? With that being said, let's put that to side. Last night, yeah, it seemed like the Titans, we talked about this yesterday, in a phone booth, playing a phone booth. This is what both of those teams did it. But you know what? Pittsburgh did it better than you. First time I saw that off that defensive line, well, not the first time, but the first time I've consistently, game after game after game, have seen this defensive line get bullied. They got bullied this week, they got bullied Sunday, and they got bullied the week prior. Hell, they got bullied, it all started in Indianapolis when they went to Indianapolis, and they started getting bullied. This defensive front, who many praised as one of the best defensive fronts in the National Football League at the beginning of the year, they're starting to look below average right now. For what reason, I have no idea. But this defensive line, the linebackers, that whole group, that front seven, is looking below average. And the Titans are not going to win another game if this defensive front, who is paid a lot of money across that front, mm-hmm. if they don't start playing. They gave up, 166 yards, 5.5 yards a carry with a touchdown, two big plays in a run game.
Team that's been averaging exactly 80 rush yards a game.
You couldn't find a runner in Pittsburgh over the last couple of weeks. But all of a sudden, Thursday night, they show up, and they show up big. 166 yards, 5.5 yards a carry. I would have never thought that from a Tennessee Titan defensive front. But you know what? If they don't fix this, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse than what we saw last night and then what we saw the week prior, this past Sunday. Because teams now don't look at the Titans as a vaunted defense anymore. There's a lot of chinks in armor. Matter of fact, it's broke. And they need to put some crazy glue or some Gorilla Glue and fix it. Because right now, it doesn't look good. And I know it's embarrassing to Mike Vrabel. And it's embarrassing to Coach Williams. They pride themselves on stopping the run. And damn it, they hadn't been able to do it the last 4 weeks.
Man, I thought I was going to be the crankiest guy coming up. I didn't sleep very much last night. We had a long flight. And everything. You guys woke up coming out firing, guns blazing here. But look, the biggest question for me is if we're talking about the defense, because there's a lot of good things that come out of that game last night in the big picture. In the big picture, it's disappointing. I didn't know that we would wake up disappointed that they lost the game, but there is a little bit of that. Right. I was curious, could they do it? Because I've seen those games before. I've seen a ton of Pittsburgh Steelers games that the Steelers just find a way to win. That's a team that has the expectation of winning. And the Steelers' record is 5-3. Their stats are not a 5-3 team. They've stolen a bunch of games like that. I felt like they kind of stole it. But my biggest question is, why is the defense so much better at home than on the road? This has been pretty consistent now. Really good at home, disruptive, the type of play that they needed last night one or two more times. It's not like they gave up 35 points. But why can teams power them and run right at them on the road and not as much at home? That's got to be the biggest question. I don't know the answer.
And, you know, I do want to get into the defense because I think that's a massive story from last night is just how could you go from being one of the best run defenses to one of the worst run defenses in a matter of 8 weeks? I don't get it. I mean, since you gave up, 150 plus rushing yards to Zach Moss alone against the Indianapolis Colts, made him look like Le'Veon freaking Bell after the Colts game, all of a sudden this defensive line's forgotten to stop the run. So I think that's a massive story of last night. But even though you step away from that game feeling like the Titans could have had it, that if the I said this to you, D-Mazer, before the show, I said if the defense was 10% better, just a smidge better, just made a couple more timely stops, you probably would have won that game. That there were so many opportunities, whether it be to the defense or, for lack of a better word, truly idiotic play calling, confusing and inexplicable play calling, you still were in that game. That I still step away from this game, and I think a lot of Titans fans step away from this game with a lot less negativity than maybe we would have had Will Levis not been under center. The Titans fans still step away from this game feeling a whole lot of encouragement and hope because Will Levis went out there and I thought had a great game. Made throws that I don't think Ryan Tannehill ever would have attempted. That if Ryan Tannehill was under center in that game, you may have only put up, 6, 9 points? Because Will Levis was able to make plays and able to keep plays alive and make throws that were really freaking impressive. And yeah, he had some of his rookie mistakes. And yeah, he looked like a rookie at times, but we expected that. We said yesterday, D-Mace, remember, he's a rookie. He might not look very good. He might struggle a little bit. I thought he had a really great game. So you can feel encouraged that you've got the guy. You feel like you've got the guy.
Yeah, that shouldn't be a question moving forward for anybody in that organization or anybody, you know, in this city in regards to, you know, who's our quarterback moving forward. Again, he may have he's going to have his bad games. Believe me, he plays in this league long enough, he's going to have bad games. I look at this from this standpoint. They didn't lose this game because of Will Levis. I think Will Levis at times gave them opportunities to win games. I don't think they lost games because of the play calling. Because I think between the 20s, they were efficient. They ran their offense. They were, as long as they got, you know, some remnants of protection, they were good. They lost the game because they were 3-for-13 on third down, and they were 1-for-4 in the red zone. The 1-for-4 tells me there's nothing wrong with the play calling. You're getting up and down the field. What happens is now, whether we can call it, I can't even say Pittsburgh was playing a bend-don't-break defense. They were aggressive at times, and they tried to mix it up. And they fooled him a few times, and they got him a few times, but he got them a few times as well, being a rookie quarterback. But once they got inside that red zone, that's when the field shrunk. That's when, you know, my safeties can play both the run and the pass. Why? Because I have the back of the end zone as the 12th man. Now I don't have to sit back so far, so you can't play action me. Because I'm not going anywhere because I could play both the run and the pass. So, to me, this is where they lost the game. They didn't complete enough passes or they didn't convert enough third downs. And then when they were in the red zone, if they get one more touchdown, and I'm not even talking about at the end of the first half when they were going into halftime. I have no problem with that. I really don't. They got points. They were getting the ball at half. Now, if they weren't getting the ball at half, then maybe they should have been a little bit more aggressive. But they knew they were getting the ball at half, and they believed in their quarterback and their run game that they would be able to get down the field and get some points. It didn't happen. But when you can't score inside the red zone, you can't score touchdowns rather than field goals, it makes it hard for your team in general. And then you got to stay on the field as an offense on third down. And when third down came, a lot of times Pittsburgh pinned their ears back and they came after the quarterback.
And getting to the
gotta be realistic, the Pittsburgh defense is still
they're still good.
Oh, not just good. They're really good, especially with Hayward back in there. I have to say, I have to be realistic. 16 points is about what I thought they were going to have in that neighborhood. And you're right, D-Mace, to point out, you know, one or two more plays in that red zone, and maybe we're talking about a very impressive win. But that's a tough defense. That is a tough defense. I look more at what the defense for the Titans didn't do. I mean, they're one stop away right there. So I go back to what was the expectation level before the season started. I thought the defense was going to be the one that carried the Titans to wins in these types of games. This was a classic game between two grinding teams that expect to win the close games. The Steelers have done it this year. They're doing surprisingly well, I think. But it's because they're good at winning the close games. That used to be what the Titans are doing. That's what they have to be able to get back to, is because they're going to have three or four more games like this. The Titans going forward, what's their record going to be in those games? It might be the difference in a winning record and a losing record on the season.
It really does feel like Pittsburgh has no business being 5-3.
No way.
No way.
They've won at least three games like that where they just pulled the rabbit out of the hat late. And but, give Pickens
credit to their defense.
Give Pickens credit. And Pickens, he's done this a few times. We had Jerry Dulac on, right? What does he say? He can struggle for a long time, mm-hmm. and then he's made big plays late in the game. That throw down the sideline was the game. That was the game right there. One throw. If he doesn't make that throw, and it's perfect. He made a lot of terrible throws.
On that third down over, yeah.
He had some throws with guys open, and he just flat out misses the guy. He should make the play. And the Titans did not disrupt him very much with the pass rush. That's another mystifying thing to me, is they've got to be able to get a better pass rush than that. But all that being said, Pickens made the one throw that he had to make. If he misses that throw down the sideline, and it's a tight window, mm-hmm. and it's a perfect throw, do the Titans win that game? I think they do.
Well, another thing with the Titans and another factor in them not winning this game is that they allowed Pittsburgh to be 50% on third down. Pittsburgh was 6 of 12 on third down. That's winning football right there. And I know people are looking at Pittsburgh's numbers, and you know, I'm watching, you know, First Take this morning, and they're laughing and giggling about how Pittsburgh, you know, hasn't, you know, put up more than 400 yards of total offense, and they're still winning, and they're calling them pretenders. But let me remind you, no one's calling Cleveland a pretender, are they? And Cleveland defense, Cleveland don't score many points. But you know what? Their defense gives them opportunities to win games. Baltimore Ravens, long time ago, they didn't score many points. Their defense gave them an opportunity to win games. You can go back over the history of this game. A lot of times, you can put up a bunch of numbers and still end up losing football games. Ask the LA Chargers. They put up a bunch of numbers, but they end up in the end losing football games. The Pittsburgh Steelers are winning games the Pittsburgh Steeler way, sort of. They would like to run the football a lot better. Last night may have been a start, but what they're depending on is that defense getting sacks and turnovers and making it very difficult once you get in the red zone. So Pittsburgh is playing Pittsburgh ball minus the quarterback. But there's nothing funny about what Pittsburgh is doing, okay? The Titans, they could be doing the same thing. The Titans are the identical of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, but they don't play good defense.
Exactly. So that's the problem. At the first two games, they played really good defense, even though they lost. We weren't talking about, oh, the defense doing, you know, at least the defensive front. We weren't talking about the defensive front ain't holding their end of the bargain, because they were. They are built to win games like that. Their defense needs to step up. Pittsburgh's defense is stepping up now. Pittsburgh defense is holding teams. They're getting turnovers. Their offense isn't at times, but their offense are scoring. They're scoring points in critical moments. You know, in basketball, we call them critical baskets. The kid, Wembanyama.
Wembanyama.
I call him Wembanyama. Wembanyama had 20-plus critical points last night. They end up winning. He had 38.
And that's my rift with the play calling. Because overall, as a whole, like, I thought Tim Kelly drew up some great plays. I thought that he was creative with blocking when he sent, you know, six or seven up front just to give Will Levis a little bit more time. I thought the two consecutive throws to Kyle Phillips were great. Like, there were instances where I thought, like the play call, like the design, great execution. But it was the critical moments where the play calling, I thought, what are we thinking? Like, what are we doing? The first one was the end of the second quarter. Mm-hmm. The Titans are in the red zone. First and 10, Will Levis overthrow. I forgot who he threw to.
Tajay Spears.
On second down.
Okay.
When it was a great ball, Tajay Spears would have had an easy touchdown, yeah. But Tajay Spears
misread
just decided
the ball,
to backpedal.
He misread the loft of the ball.
I don't know what's going on with that. That's a couple times I've seen it. We got to figure that out.
And that was on Spears. Not the play call. That was on Spears. Where just run, dude. You got an easy touchdown
there.
You
had it. That's a touchdown.
But on third and 10, you decide to run it? When Will Levis just narrowly missed a couple of throws on first and second down, I think just go ahead, try throwing it again. And then if you don't get it, then you can go ahead and kick there. So I thought running it on third and 10 with Spears up the middle when you have a timeout. Like, what are you doing? That was a four-point
mistake. Here's what it is. They didn't think they could protect the quarterback there. They don't have confidence in the offensive line. I was amazed. I really do believe that Ryan Tannehill probably would have been sacked at least 7 or 8 times in that game.
Yeah.
Will Levis helps the offensive line survive against a fearsome pass rush. That is a pass rush that gets after you. And he was under pressure a lot. For almost half of his throws, he's under pressure. But what does Levis do? He slides up and down that pocket. Mm-hmm. Really well. He gets rid of the ball with zip on it incredibly well. So, Caroline, I agree that maybe they could have shown a little more faith in Levis, but I think deep down Vrabel's like, I can have the lead at halftime here.
And
let's
I get
not
the ball
ask
back.
Too much, and I get the ball back, and I don't want to have a sack fumble. I don't want Levis to maybe force one and get too giddy here. Let's take the field goal. I know, but it's conservative for sure. But what happened at the end of the first half? I know he's got the timeout, but he's seen disaster at the end of the first half before this year with that offensive line. So, yes, conservative, but I get it. That offensive line was in survival mode from the get-go. And if you told me that that was going to happen, like you, Caroline, I'm looking at a game where I'm thinking, are they going to get double digits in this game? I thought it was remarkable what Levis was able to create under the circumstances.
Well, what you're essentially doing is you're playing chess here. You're second down, well, you're third and 10, and you're on the, 18, 19-yard line, somewhere around there. Pittsburgh was in a pass defense. They were in the pass defense. That's what they were in. And you try to run a draw play. Because they're in that pass defense, what you try to do is it's like you're passing and you want those defense, those the linebackers to collapse in the passing lane. You give it to Tajay Spears, and he can get up the middle, possibly get, you know, close to 10 yards, or if not 10 yards, we still got a timeout. We can call a timeout. And maybe if it's third and one, somewhere around there, think about, well, fourth and one, think about going for it. Maybe not, but at least we give ourselves an opportunity. This team was in a pass defense. You wasn't going to get anything in an end zone. They were going to tackle you at about the five-yard line, and you would have had to kick the ball anyway. To me,
that's fine. But I just would have tried.
But you did try. You're playing the odds. You're thinking, I've watched enough tape of this team. They're in a pass defense. If we bring Tajay Spears in, spread them out a little bit, they're in a pass defense. If we can fool them by running the ball, get some yardage, and possibly even get a first down. That's what they're thinking. You automatically go and try to pass the ball against that defense. You're not getting it. They showed you they were not going to let you throw the ball inside the end zone, inside the red zone. You had four opportunities. You scored one because you ran the football.
But my thing is, they did it on second down.
But if you're trying to throw it, if you're trying to throw it in the end zone too, that it might take. It's that extra second you need of protection, and I'm not sure I'm getting that second. Maybe you do. You can, like you said, Caroline, you can try, but we saw what can happen. Sack, fumble, you get nothing. So, if I'm a riverboat gambler, yeah. So a Caroline's ready for riverboat gambler football. Let's go for it. Let's fire it into the end zone, see what happens. But
Is it that big of a gamble?
The risk reward. Yes, I think
with that offensive line, yeah, it is. You know,
that offensive line was that offensive line was at best hanging on. Because
what did we say when they did it? They did it the first time, and he got sacked. They should have just took the point. They know how that offensive line is
against Cleveland.
But this time, they had a touchdown.
Why would you single up Dillard?
It's still not very smart to put, you know, Andre Dillard one-on-one on Myles Garrett. I stand by that. But this is different because you had a timeout this go-around. You didn't have a timeout against Cleveland. Also, against Cleveland, you had Ryan Tannehill who couldn't throw the football. You have a different quarterback this go-around. You have a quarterback that just barely, but can we be realistic here with the way that Levis was playing versus how we can expect Tannehill would have played last night. Like, I give a ton of credit to Will Levis that he just barely missed two throws. Like, on second down, that wasn't a Levis problem. That was a Tajay Spears problem.
No, I give you that. I mean,
right, he played well, but he's still a young quarterback that you're thinking could be fooled on a coverage one time, and then you get nothing. There's a lot of things that could happen. Again, it's conservative thinking. But it's a game where you don't think you might you think you might be able to win 16-13. And they almost did. If their defense gets a stop on the last drive, we're talking about a 16-13 win. So 3 points is good there.
We'll hear from Mike Vrabel coming up next. Caroline Willie DeMay is 1025, 1063 the game. Caroline Willie DeMays. We are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. So normally, Chris Mason joins us. C-Mace is brought to you by Coleman Tractor in Middle Tennessee's leading Kubota dealer. So we will circle back with C-Mace. Got D-Mace on the brain. With C-Mace very shortly. But Mike Vrabel will be at the podium. So we will send it over to Mike Vrabel as soon as he heads up. We will carry that live and in its entirety. What is one thing that you guys want to hear from Mike Vrabel once he heads to the podium?
I want to, you know, hear him talk about the defensive line and why, since the Indianapolis game, this defensive line hasn't been, you know, what we envision it to be. There has to be, because the players they haven't changed. There's no major injuries across the board. Yes, T.R. Tartt did miss a game, but it seems like now he's healthy. With all your guys pretty much healthy, why is this defense still giving up so many yards rushing? That's the question that needs to be answered.
Completely agree. I think that's the biggest question mark, the biggest disappointment, is that that's supposed to be the strength of the team. And they let a team that has not run the ball well all year run very well. That's probably what got you beat when you get down to it. Realistically, you got what you needed from your offense. So I'm with Derek on that one. I want to hear, because Tart's back now, I'd just like to see more there. This team has got some opportunities here because they may have stumbled upon a quarterback that can really play here. But they sort of got out-vrabled a little bit. That was a classic Steelers-Titans game. I've seen so many of them before, and the Steelers just found a way to win.
I think one thing, and the defense is absolutely – I just don't get it. Mm-hmm. Like, I truly don't understand what has happened there. It was one of the best run defenses in the league at the beginning of the season, and then something just flipped where it hasn't just been a gradual decline. It's been a complete 180 where Pittsburgh...
Especially on the road. Especially on the road.
Yeah, that is true. And I get it. You know, playing on the road is hard, especially in an environment like Pittsburgh or Cleveland. But to look like a completely different team when you're away from Nissan Stadium, I don't understand.
But realistically, if you look at this, okay, we talked about how, you know, this defensive front has given us this illusion that there are a top five defensive front. Well, let's just go down a list of teams that they played before they got to a team with a real running back. The Saints, their running back Kamara was gone. The Chargers, Austin Eckler was gone. Chubb, gone. The Bengals, their quarterback was hurt, so they wasn't getting much of anything, and they were in shotgun all the time, which means it takes away a bit of their ability to run the way they want to run. And then when they finally ran up against a team with running backs, the Colts, the Ravens, the Falcons, and the Steelers, they're showing their true identity. You can't tell me nothing else. Mm-hmm. You ran up against three teams that were either missing their running back. Well, hell, their running back was hurt. Their starting running back was hurt. Saints, Chargers, Browns, Bengals. He wasn't hurt, but their quarterback was hurt, which means he had to be in a shotgun all the time, which takes away a bit from your run game. When they finally ran up against a team that had healthy running backs, healthy quarterback, and a healthy offensive line, this defense started to decline. Nobody can tell me different.
And it was a top five, top 10 run defense in the league last year.
Yeah, it was. But then even last year, they gave up their share when they needed it. And that's what we talked about last year, too. Now, we could say a lot of that had to do with injuries. You know, Jeffrey was battling an ankle injury.
Daylon Jr.
was injured. They didn't have Harold Landry. So maybe that kind of contributed.
But now you have Landry.
But you have
now
all
Simmons
these guys.
Is healthy.
Yes.
I mean, you have Azeez Al-Shaair who comes in and replaces David Long Jr. Yeah, he's made some good plays. He had a near interception last night, but it's now a complete 180.
But
aren't even a staunch running team.
But they haven't been. But they have a running back that can be.
They haven't been, but they were against you.
Exactly. Every team that has played you with a running back, a good, dominant running back, what has happened to the Tennessee Titans?
They got run all over.
Exactly. So, again, this is not this vaunted defensive front that we expected to see, or they gave the illusion that they were going to be. This is a average to good to average defensive front that can be ran on. Let's just point blank call it how it is. With Jeffrey Simmons, with Tier Tart, love the both of them. Mm-hmm. Both can be dominant at times. But right now, as we sit, when they play a running back that's not hurt, an offensive line that's okay to good, they look average.
So you are average.
I'm just calling it how I see it.
Average to bad.
I'm calling it how I see it. I'm not trying to say guys are not playing hard. You know, I'm not calling, you know, Jeffrey Simmons anything but a really good player in this league. Tier Tart's a really good player in this league. But it's going to take more than just those two guys to get this run defense back to where it was once upon a time. Because right now, it doesn't even resemble what we thought it was going to be or should be.
Yeah, the defense is designed to take away the run. That's how it's built. So it's hard to function the way you want to if you're not doing what you set out to do and what you're designed to do. And give the Steelers some credit. You know, they went with the 1-2 punch. You know, Warren, he had big runs last night. He had the biggest run of the game. That's another situation where the defense, despite getting driven on late, the red zone has been a strong suit of theirs as well. And in that situation, the guy spins off. You know, Simmons beats his man, kind of blows up the play initially, but where was everybody else? And he ends up almost scoring. He sets up the touchdown. You know, that's one where you, if you can get a stop and hold him 16-16 again, maybe that last drive is yours and you win 19-16. So many what ifs. And, you know, what's the higher expectation? I'm leaning on the defense, and that's where I think you need to see some step ups there. If they can play better defense down the stretch of the season, I think it could be a pretty interesting last however many games they've got left.
I'm with you, Willie. We'll send it to Mike Vrabel, who's up at the podium now.
Defensive secondary, so there'll probably be some moving parts here over the weekend.
When you make that decision, Mike, is it purely on who, assuming Ryan's healthy, is it purely on who's playing better right now, or do you take into account things like Ryan's track record or Will's potential, things like that as well?
Yeah, I think with any position, you look for, you know, who gives you the best opportunity to win and where you're at and what's, you know, best for the football team. So, you know, we'll have those conversations over the weekend. We'll see where Ryan's health is. We'll see where, you know, some different guys are as health. But, you know, we're always just trying to figure out, you know, what gives us the best chance to win, what we can do to win a football game, especially one next week that's on the road.
When you're looking at that equation, though, how much does future balance into it as well? Whereas, like, you know, obviously Levis is a guy of the future, Tannehill is the now. How do you balance that?
You know, I think as a coach, you know, you're focused on the football team, and that's finding a way to win. Winning is critical. I think just the way that everybody feels, you, the injury isn't as bad, you know, the bumps and bruises aren't as bad. You know, just from everybody's attitude, I think that's you have to focus on today and what's best for us today. And then obviously on the other hand, there is a long-term implications for decisions that we make, whether that's, you know, looking at Kevin Byard and moving him to Philly. So I think that there is a balance there.
You Will played last night.
Again, when we lose, nobody did a good enough job. I think there were some good plays. I think that there were some decisions that we can't make, you know, and you know, throwing the ball into cover two down the sidelines isn't something that is going to be very advantageous offensively if you're trying to take care of the football.
Have you had a chance to check on Traylon this morning, and how's he doing?
He's communicated via text. I think he's on his way in. And again, from what it looked like, I would say that was probably it's going to be as good of a prognosis as what it could have been. You know, just looking at the visual of all that, and that's, you know, we understand what the risks are involved, and, you know, Traylon sold out to make a play, and unfortunately didn't. But I'm hopeful, and we're all hopeful that, you know, we'll get him back as soon as possible.
He knocked Albert in. What was his injury?
He's in concussion protocol. You know, and then, you know, there was a brief loss of consciousness. That's why they reacted in the manner in which they did. It sounds like that everybody did exactly what they're supposed to do based on the protocol, and, you know, making sure that Traylon's well-being was looked after as quickly and as correctly as possible.
Mike, what's happening that the run defense has not been as effective the last month or so as it was earlier in the year?
Well, there were moments. If you look back in the month, and if you look back and say, you know, not that the quarterback doesn't count as rushing yards, right? But Lamar had a couple, and Ritter had some. So I don't think it was awful. Last night was a different story. That was, you know, those were some base runs. We got to do a better job on the edge. The ball got on the edge, creased us inside on a couple traps, you know, that we have to fit better. We have to get off blocks. It's no real secret. You know, if you're in split safety, you got to make the ball go lateral, and you got to trigger and tackle. If you're in post safety, everybody's got a gap that they have to be responsible for. And then once the ball declares, you know, being able to shed with good technique, have separation, not be on body, right? You play with separation. You know, they're going to hold, right? And the only way that you ever get a call is by having some separation and being able to shed at the point of attack and allow them to see that. So I'm not saying that they were holding us. It's just fundamental run defense that you set an edge. Everybody fits where they're supposed to fit. When the ball declares, you shed and you tackle.
Is there a consistent missing element, like in the last four games in particular, you guys are giving up big numbers? Is there one consistent thing in those four that you could point to that's not working or missing?
Well, no, they got the edge twice, right? There were two big ones on the edge. They had two, a 15 and a 14, that hit up the middle. So, you know, sometimes what happens is it's like, okay, I got to try to make a play, and I peek inside, or I get a little too tight, or I get knocked out of my gap, and then I got to show back up instead of playing the block. Sometimes you would look for the football as opposed to just playing the block and knowing exactly where the ball's going based on what they're blocking and how they're blocking you. So a lot of it is fundamental, and you have to be committed to doing it. You know, guy blocks you got to lock out, limit the space, right? Guy flashes, guy pulls, you got to fit the run, you got to go spill, you got to hold up on a double team. That's what happens. And then all those things, before we start yelling at each other, go ahead, Joe.
I was just saying, so more freelancing than there
you. No, I don't want to say like freelancing. It's just, you can't really, I could go through one by one every double digit run. And so whether that's a freelance, somebody being in the wrong spot, somebody getting, you know, just blocked, right? They block you. Somebody getting knocked over on a double team, us not fitting a gap scheme, somebody needing to spill, not getting it spilled, whether it's a toss crack and somebody's got to get up and in and somebody's got to overlap or miss tackle. There's a lot of those just things that come up. So I wouldn't say that it's one particular thing based on the multitude of answers that I try to give you, because those are all things that have happened.
In terms of pass rush, you've said several times during this drought that guys just need to win, haven't been winning. Jeff, we conveyed that answer to Jeff last night and a couple times through this. He doesn't seem accepting of that idea. Is it hard for a guy like that to accept a verdict like that from his coach?
Well, I don't know. I just know that they can only. I'm sorry.
Is there a matter of denial from him that's
I'm not gonna speak for Jeff, but I will speak in pass rush. Right? They, you know, they've got five offensive linemen. There's four defensive linemen. They can double team one guy. We have to do a better job winning one on one. We have to do a better job of scheming. And when we scheme, we need to execute. When we work together with someone, we need to work and communicate what the game is, all these things that we've done and have done this year, have done in the past. But it comes down to one-on-one, you know, whether it's in coverage, whether it's in route, whether it's us blocking and them rushing or us rushing and them blocking. Like that's, you know, if somebody gets the back, you got to win. If you're on the tight end, you got to win. Like these things have gone on well before this year. In pro football.
Simmons had mentioned also that Kenny Pickett, which we saw, he was getting rid of the ball quickly, and sure. That factored into it. From your perspective, is that?
I didn't track the. I mean, they hit a couple plays down the field, like, but I didn't track how long it came out.
I mean, for the most part,
right.
It seemed like
I didn't measure. You know, how, you know, a bunch of bubbles. I mean, again, that, right? So the run release that they have a run called and he bubbles it out there. But the third down is where you're going to be able to – you have to be able to create some impact, right? You have to be able to coordinate the rush and the coverage. And so to Jeff's point, that, you know, if they throw a bubble, like nobody's going to affect, you know, the quarterback necessarily on a bubble pass outside.
How did Ravens do? And also the brief look you got at Jalen Duncan.
I thought Dylan battled. It's good to see him be able to be ready to go and take advantage of his opportunity and compete. You know, we'll keep working with Jalen and make sure that he's, you know, doing everything he can, and if he gets an opportunity here, you know, be ready to go.
Mike, do you feel like this defensive coaching staff has the ability, like has the resources, the players to be able to turn the defense around?
Do you think we have the resources?
Like the players?
We've got the players, that, you know, I mean, we've got guys we've made, you know, we've committed to some guys up front, you know, for long term, and you know, again, they were able to impact the game up front against Atlanta. You know, there's a fine line. You know, we've been talking with these guys this morning about, you know, how much do you scheme, right? How much do you scheme, and how much do you want to, you know, get good at some stuff so that, you know, you're able to adjust to multiple things that teams are doing each and every week, right? Or if you're just going to hang your hat on, you know, a bunch of scheme, if that doesn't get executed, you know, pretty darn close to perfect, you may have some gaps and you may have some, you know, opportunities for big plays. So I think it's a fine line between looking at who you have and trying to get really good at something and knowing where your weaknesses are. And then there's also a good balance that, you know, let's try to find some ways to scheme some things and to get a guy on a back on third down. And then they have to win.
You mentioned things like peaking and trying too hard to make a play when you look up front. It's not the first time you've mentioned that this year. I take it that's been a point of emphasis for you guys. So why do those things keep recurring if they've been probably a point of emphasis for you guys in game planning?
It's not a point of emphasis in game planning. It's how you stop the run in the National Football League. Yeah. So,
how often can you make that the message without the message seemingly translating into...
Well, there are, it's not, you know, it's not every single run, right? It's just the ones that cost you. And unfortunately, sometimes those, you know, guy makes a play, you know, when there is another mistake and, you know, somebody can erase that mistake, you know. Looking at last night down the sidelines, you know, Weave might have got too tight on the tackle. Warren bounced it out. Terrell was going to fit inside and then the ball bounced and they bumped into each other. Like, I don't know what to tell you other than to set the edge, stay there and let Terrell come in and make a tackle and let everybody else swarm. So that's what happens. And then there's other runs where it's -2 or no gain. It's just, You can't relax and you can't just say, okay, they're not going to run it, or they're, you know, we have to know what the call is and understand that, you know, we, just like I said, if it's a split safety defense, we have to do everything in our power to make the ball go lateral and then go run inside out and not let it crease us right down the middle. So, but it's good. You know what I mean? Again, it's the X plays that we talked about, missed tackle, misfit, you know, all those reasons, and so we got to be better.
Understanding the defensive issues that you're talking about, still only gave up 20. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead. We got to score more points.
I'm confounded by the settling for field goals and the unwillingness to push to get touchdowns and the why is there not, why do you not talk more about the offense's inefficiency to get touchdowns and focus so much on the defense when they're only giving up 20?
Because I know what it's supposed to look like in all three phases. And again, in that particular situation, I felt like, we all felt like, made a bad decision to go to Hop on first down, missed Tajay, on second down. And instead of making what would have been a costly mistake, I felt like taking the lead on the road and ensuring that to happen on third and 10 was the right decision. And so that, again, you can say, settling for not scoring touchdowns, and just trying to weigh the best way to try to win the football game. The best way that I felt like at that time, based on the circumstances, based on how the game was going, there was other times we get the ball on the 9-yard line and we gain 5 yards on first down. Probably if Derek stiff arms the guy, we probably score. We gain 2 yards on second down and ultimately scored on third down. But there were three plays of at least what you would call efficiency. And again, they weren't at the end of the half. So now you're, sitting there, in the mid red or high red with third and 10. And I just felt like that was what was best for us at that time. So
Tajay gets twisted up on that play. It seemed like it was more on him. It was a decent throw. And you say, well, we can't try that again because our rookie running back got tied up.
No, I don't think that. I think we need to throw a better ball at that point. And just, I think, whether it's Tajay, whether it's Will, I get when you lose, you're everything that we do, we need to evaluate and understand why at that particular time. I'm just telling you that I felt like that was what was best for the football team and not putting them in a third down pass rush mode and third and 10 and forcing the ball in there, making sure that we were smart with the ball. I'd love for you guys to look. It was pretty favorable look. It was a five-man box. Should have gained much more than 1 yard. There was five guys in there. We should block them and try to gain more yards than the one. It was a pretty favorable look to run even on third and 10.
Just one more, if I may. The idea that the two previous balls dictate that you don't give them a third chance to throw the ball. Are there other examples in a game where you say, oh, these two plays eliminate the possibility of a third play?
No, I just think that in that situation, you want to make sure, again, we don't have a whole lot of time to talk through things and say, hey, are you okay? Whether you decide to try to throw it into, again, down the sidelines and cover two, we don't want to do those types of things. And, just the way that particular thing played out, that instance, that's what I decided to do.
How much of that is... Should you put it right on Tajay? Is that what you were saying on that play?
I just think we need to find a way to complete that pass to open guys. And Will knows that. And any quarterback would know that, whether Tajay got turned around or anything else. The execution has to be better in all three phases. It does.
How much of that situation is a rookie quarterback in there that doesn't have a lot of experience versus maybe a veteran who,
I don't know. I can't tell you because there was only one quarterback in there. He was making his sixth quarter of professional football. We were going to take the lead and go to halftime and get the ball. And I'm sure would like to have not gone three and out after we took it at halftime. But that was the decision that I made.
You said that run should have gotten what?
I'm saying when you run the football against five guys in the box, you should probably gain more than 1 yard.
Well,
Like that was the what, that fact. No, 19. We only needed nine more. We had a timeout. So, but we'll see. You know.
Would you have thrown it if you got nine more?
We didn't. It's a hypothetical.
Last week you had said when you were asked about Tannehill being healthy, being the starter, you said you would imagine that be the case. This week you're saying like you're going
to. I'm going to tell you everything that I can tell you on Tuesday, as it relates to the depth chart at quarterback, at tackle, at cornerback. I'll tell you everything that I can possibly tell you based on Ryan's health, based on the health of everybody else. I'm not willing to discuss hypotheticals when everybody gets back and who is available and who's not available. I'll update you.
At quarterback, are you saying that it's
I just told you what I was saying. I said that when Ryan is healthy, I will have a decision for you.
The fact that Will has been so aggressive about those downfield throws, or do you feel like at times he needs to – maybe rein it in at all?
No, we love them when we complete them, right? You guys like them when we complete them, but we don't like them when we don't complete them. And again, if it's a favorable look, take a shot. And because in that case it was trailing, and we like the play, just like Pittsburgh liked the shot, on third and six to Deontay Johnson. But not making bad decisions into some poor coverage looks.
Did you think that Levis's throw on the ball that Spears fell down is why Spears fell down? Because you talked about needing to execute that play, but I don't understand how you're going to execute the play when the receiver falls down.
Just got to hit it next time, man. It's everybody's fault. We didn't score. We didn't score a touchdown. We didn't complete the pass, so it was put it on the call, put it on me, put it on the quarterback, put it on the running back, put it on everybody. It was an incomplete pass.
Had he made bad throws prior to you not letting him throw on the three downs on the second to last series?
No, he was. Everything was perfect. Everything was just spot on, perfect, Paul. And I made a decision. You guys disagree with it, and That's the decision that I made that I felt like was best for our football team at the end of half. And,
in the second to last season. Did you tell Tim not to throw there, or is that Tim?
No, we ran a reverse to trailing. Should have blocked the linebacker. Didn't. Trailing made a great individual effort to gain as many yards as he did. So we were ahead of the chains. It was four down territory. Tried to, again, felt like giving Tajay an opportunity there on third down, and then didn't hit the fourth down one.
Can you, Mike, give us a sense of how, if any, what you're working with your front five and the offensive line may or may not impact how you guys approach?
I think it's too soon right now. Guys are still just getting MRIs, and give Daniel Brunskill a lot of credit for competing and fighting through. It's some sort of injury. Nick couldn't finish. Pretty much all of them went down for a snap or two. But we'll know more here after this weekend and how everybody's feeling. And again, where we feel like we could put guys that think Chris Hubbard has a chance to practice and work his way through concussion protocol.
Re-aggravate the thumb, or he just couldn't go with it?
Yeah, just probably both.
Some of those depth chart moves, is it all in?
Oh, I don't know if they're moves. I just said I'm going to update you guys after this weekend. So
primarily, not necessarily.
Well, we only have so many guys. Again, if we feel like there's somebody that can help us, we'll try to get them in there, whether they're on a practice squad or. We work them out, or we bring them in there from somewhere else. I think that we got to look at everybody.
Mike, 9 games left in this season. Out of the 5 losses, only one was a blowout. Where do you think that this team is at this point?
Thanks for noticing, Teresa.
I'm sorry?
I said thanks for noticing. We are, halfway through, and I thought, again, what I told the team – contrary to popular belief, but at halftime, I said, we're back in a race. We're back in a race, and let's finish this half. So we got some ground to make up, but you do it one game at a time. You do it one practice at a time. And I'm confident that we'll do that and, you know, figure out a way to win on the road, which has avoided us up until this point for a number of reasons. And, you know, just have to be a little bit better in all phases, a little cleaner, staying more efficient, turning the football over, getting some stops, and, you know, being better in third down. And, you know, given our team, you know, we had a short field and, you know, didn't capitalize.
What makes you confident you can do that when you've not consistently done it all season?
I've got belief in the players. I've got people belief in the coaching staff to get guys prepared. I don't think it's effort. You know, I think with all the mistakes and everything else and then whatever else happens, you know, we play just good enough to make it close. So we have to, you know, eliminate the few plays. Seemed like every time they needed a play, they made it. I talked about that last night. And we weren't unfortunately able to. So games are close. We understand that. And I think the way that we play and our ability to compete make them that way. Thanks, guys. I hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you.
All right. A lot to break down there from Mike Vrabel, and we will do that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.